Well, good morning to you all. Good morning to you all that are here and all those who are watching online this morning. Welcome. And welcome especially for all our young people and children. My goodness, we've got a whole load of you. Brilliant. Now, there's no youth work this morning, so all of you young people are going to be in for the whole service. Lucky you. So we will try and keep it fairly short this morning. Now, it's January the 2nd, and it's traditional at the beginning of the new year to say
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. But happiness depends on happenings. So I'm not going to say Happy New Year to you all, because some of the happenings that have happened this last year have not been so good, have they? So I'm going to say to you all and those online, a joyful New Year and full of blessings to you all. So here we are, a new year celebrating the start of 2022. Also, it is actually still in the season of Christmas, but we are celebrating Epiphany, which, as you can see from the slide there, shows the three wise men. And of course, if it was today and the three wise men came, it would probably look a little bit more like that. But we celebrate the first event when non-Jews came and visited Jesus. And also, we're looking at Jesus revealed. That's the theme of our service, really, today. And Judith will be preaching on that a little later. So we're looking at Jesus revealed, and we're going to start our time of worship this morning with a prayer. So if you'd like to join in, please just read the words out with me. Lord, you make all things new. You bring hope alive in our hearts and cause our spirits to be born again. Thank you for this new year, for all the potential it holds. Come and light in us a mighty flame and a bright light, so that in our time many will see your wonders and live forever to praise you, Jesus. And so we're going to sing now, and I hope you guys down here got your instruments ready. Are you ready? Do you know the carol, We Three Kings? You do. Are you going to play your instruments for us? Are you going to stand up and wave and shake them joyfully for us? I hope you are. So let's stand if you're able and let's sing We Three Kings. Thank you. Lovely. Thank you, young people. Great playing. I think you're better than the worship band. What do you think?
Definitely.
Right.
Come and see.
No, mustn't jump ahead. Right, now, we've got a video. It's the reading for this morning, okay? And for those online, you'll have to YouTube Saddleback Kids, okay? And it's the baptism of Jesus. It's had 400,000 hits, so it should be fairly high up. And for those who are online and can't get the YouTube, it's about John the Baptist preparing the way, announcing the coming of somebody far more powerful than him. And after he's persuaded to baptize Jesus, down from heaven comes a dove. And a voice from heaven, God himself, says, "You are my son, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased."
So to start off with, we're going to sing a very, very easy chant, which repeats itself over and over again. And it's echoing the words of what we've just heard. Come, Holy Spirit, descend on us. Because we want God's Holy Spirit to descend on us at the beginning of this new year. That is what we would really like God to do for us, is to send his Holy Spirit on us and just show us who he is as we gather in Jesus' name. And then from there, we'll lead on to another song. So all of you, just sit or stand or whatever you want to do. There's no, you know, you don't have to do anything. Just try to feel God's presence with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you as we remember last year, even though it was a difficult year, there's always things we can remember that have blessed us. And as we look forward to a new year, Lord, we just ask for your Spirit to bless us anew. Would you give us joy even when circumstances are difficult? Would you help us to always be lifting our spirits to your Spirit, Lord? Whatever's happening in our lives, we know that you are with us. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. So, as we've already mentioned, it's the new year, isn't it? The time of new beginnings. So, I'd like to know who's made some new year resolutions? No one. No one at all. Goodness me. Well, I must admit, I kind of stopped making them a few years ago because I usually found I'd broken them by about January the 3rd and it got a bit depressing. But this year, right now, we're starting a new series, reading through the Gospel of Mark. And in this first section, we saw how God announced the start of a really exciting new plan, a new way that he was going to do things. And I'm going to suggest three things that we might want to do in response. So if you don't like the idea of resolutions, don't call them resolutions. But three things that we might want to do in response in this new year. So, Jesus had come into the world. And he was about to start his ministry. He was going to give people a new way to meet and be friends with God. But first, John the Baptist came to let people know that Jesus was coming. His job was a bit like a television program host. You know, he's telling people what's going to happen next, who's going to be involved, who's going to be the next couple to dance. Or if you stayed up till midnight on January the 31st, it's like the person counting down the seconds until Big Ben chimes out the new year. That was kind of John's role, really. His job was to help people get excited, looking forward to something that was going to happen. They didn't quite know yet what that was going to be. And the idea was to make Jesus' job a bit easier so that people were going to expect him and be in the right frame of mind to listen to him. But it's kind of a bit of a strange way to go about it, isn't it? If you had a really important message to give, would you go out into the middle of nowhere and stand there in really weird clothes and expect people to come and listen to you? Maybe not. Would you want to go and listen to a strange man dressed in odd clothes out in the middle of a desert? But somehow we're told that this really got to people. We're told the whole countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went to hear John. And then he did something else that was a bit strange and a bit new. He baptized them in the river. And we're told that they did this as a way of saying sorry for the wrong things that they'd done. We're used to the idea of baptism, aren't we? Can I ask who here has been baptized? Yeah, most of us. Do you know how many times the word baptism appears in the Bible before Jesus in the Old Testament? Anyone like to guess how many times does the word baptism appear in the Old Testament? Any guesses? None. You're right. Absolutely none. Zero. Nul point. It doesn't happen. We know from other sources, and there's just the odd reference in the Old Testament to people using water to purify themselves, but it wasn't really a way of showing repentance. Jewish people did that by making sacrifices at the temple. So this was another really new, really strange idea. John's baptism wasn't the same as we know today, because the New Testament teaches that baptism is about dying to sin and rising in Christ. And that couldn't happen then, of course, because Christ hadn't died for us yet. But John said that this was coming, and really a new, different kind of baptism was going to come that was going to be even newer and stranger than his. It was going to be baptism with the Holy Spirit. So this new, strange message given by a slightly odd person was really successful. People wanted to hear it. It met a need that the formal religion of the time didn't do. And people went to a lot of effort. They'd go out, they'd walk out into the desert to be baptized. And it was to show that they were serious about doing what God wanted. So my first challenge is, is there something you could do to show God that you want to be serious about him in this new year? A New Year's resolution, if you like. One easy thing to do would be to commit to reading the Gospel of Mark this month while we're studying it at church. It's the shortest gospel. It's just 16 chapters long. So you just have to read half a chapter a day and you'd read it in just past the end of January. So how about that? Commit to reading the book of Mark. We could maybe read it together as a family if you've got children. Maybe you could have a family prayer time together every day. Maybe you could commit to saying grace at a meal once a day. Just something that you could do to show God that you're serious about him this new year. So, John the Baptist seemed a bit odd, but actually everything that he did and said pointed back to promises that God had made many years before. And I think that's why people were excited, because it seemed like those promises were finally going to come true. Do you remember, those of you who know the Narnia books, in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, it's always winter, never Christmas, until Aslan comes. And it must have been a bit like that. People have been waiting for these promises, and finally, it's going to happen. Not because Aslan is coming, but because Jesus is coming. So what were some of the promises that were being kept by what John did? Well, first of all, John was baptizing people in the River Jordan. And that was the boundary that the people of Israel had had to cross when they travelled from Egypt. And it was a sign that they were moving into God's promised land. And so when people are baptized in the Jordan, it's a sign that they're moving into something new that God is promising. And John said that Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. It might have reminded people of the promise in the book of Joel that one day the Spirit would come to everyone. And even John's strange clothing was in the Old Testament. It's how the prophet Elijah is described as being dressed. And Elijah was expected to come back before the final day of the Lord. So John was dressed like Elijah. So no wonder people were excited. After hundreds of years with no messages from God, everything seemed to point to this was the time, this was the place that he was engaging with his people and keeping his promises. I wonder, have you got examples of how God has kept his promises to you? Or maybe there's a promise that you feel he's kept that you're waiting to see happen. Or maybe you're standing on the edge of the river. You haven't quite taken the plunge yet. So, for our second New Year activity, why not take a moment to think, is there something you would like Jesus to do for you this year? A promise that you would like to claim. So, John's whole purpose was to prepare for people to meet Jesus, and through him the Father and the Holy Spirit. And his whole message, and then Jesus' own baptism, as we've seen, it confirms that Jesus was the Son of God. You know, in verses 2 and 3, if you get to read it, when you get to read it, Mark says that he's quoting Isaiah the prophet, but actually he's not. Those verses quote three different Old Testament books. Mark got it a bit wrong. And I like that. I like that Mark gets it a bit wrong, that he's a bit shaky on the detail. Because it tells us that it doesn't matter if we get things wrong sometimes. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to know the Bible inside out and back to front. Because what really, really mattered to Mark was making it absolutely clear who Jesus was. He's announcing who Jesus was. And he lays it out in the very first verse of his book. He says, "This is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Couldn't be more clear, could it? So, John told people that Jesus was coming, and then Jesus tells the people a little bit later that the kingdom of God was coming. So what do people have to do in response? Well, firstly, as we've already said, they had to be willing to take the time to listen to the message and the messenger. Secondly, they had to be prepared to recognise they got things wrong and to say sorry, and that's why they were baptised. And thirdly then, both John and then Jesus in verse 15 say that they have to just believe this good news. The good news that it's possible to enter God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is just the place where God is reigning with the people who know him and love him. That's all. Sadly, of course, we know many people at the time didn't get it. And many people today still don't get it. We might think it's easier for us. People listening to John wouldn't have known he was talking about Jesus, and of course we do. There are people, of course, who don't recognise Jesus still, or haven't believed in him yet. I just wonder, if that's you, maybe that's something you'd like to think about doing, taking that step into the river and saying sorry and giving John a chance, Jesus a chance. You know, we don't have to know it all. I remember when I became a Christian, it was very much along the lines of, this kind of seems to make sense, I'll give it a go. We don't have to understand it all. We just have to trust and believe just a tiny bit and give it a go. But maybe you've known Jesus a long time, but sometimes you put limits on him. You think he wouldn't be interested in certain parts of your life or helping with particular issues. So as our third resolution, how about either asking Jesus to become part of your life or asking him to help you be more aware of him in your everyday life and in this new year? So that's three ideas for the new year. Try something new to show God you want to be serious about him. Claim a promise that you'd love to see fulfilled in your life. And take a step to meet God in a new way. To finish, I'd just like to read something I reflected on and wrote down a few years ago in the new year. I'd forgotten all about it, and I came across it just last night. And it kind of seems to fit quite well with what we've been talking about. And the last 2 years have been difficult, and there might be lots of things we'd like to forget. But this is what I wrote a few years ago. The point here, the real point, is not to forget the past, but to recognise that God can do and does do things which are unpredictable. At the same time, he is the same God, however amazingly new what he does is. So I hope you find that reminder of an unchanging, loving God gives you real hope as we move into this new year. And good luck with those resolutions.
Judith, thank you so much, and some real practical examples there for us to follow this year. We're going to move into a time of prayer in a moment, but as we do, I have some rather sad news to share with you, I'm afraid. Dave Bruce sent me an email last night asking me to let you know that Morris' husband died yesterday, very suddenly, and our prayers go out to Jutta, his wife, and to the family, who are obviously meeting together at the moment and trying to come to terms with what's happened. So, Father God, we pray for the family. We pray, Lord God, that you would bring a comfort that passes all of our understanding at this most challenging time for them. Amen. And as we move into prayer, obviously we'll be holding them in our prayers. I've put a heart up because I wanted this morning not to pray or for us to pray using words, but we're going to have some images on the screen with just a few themes. And David, I'd like you to play it fairly loudly if you could, and also through the fallback so we can hear it at the front here. It's just some images which I'm putting there for us to feel the heart of God, because sometimes prayer can be very much a word thing, a mind thing, and yet the heart of God is something that we seek in all situations. So for this short, only 4-minute piece of music with some images, just allow yourselves and ourselves to be absorbed by it, and see if we can sense God's heart for each of these situations. Let's bring our heartfelt prayers together as we share in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I hope you could hear me singing, because I couldn't hear myself above all the noise of the instruments. Well done. That's fantastic.
Let's close our time of worship by sharing together something that's really quite important, I think, which is a covenant prayer. It comes from the Methodist Church. It's always used on what they call Covenant Sunday, which is today. And it's an affirmation, in a sense, of who we want to be in Christ. So let's share. Sit if you like, stand if you like. This is called the Covenant Prayer. So, sit there, Derek. Can you? Sorry. We will have the Covenant Prayer in a moment. Here we go. Let's say these words together as our, in a sense, sharing together as the kingdom of God here. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Announcing revolution, living the way of Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed week. Thank you.
May the peace of God, which passes